Good morning. It's April 18th and this is your daily brief in Australia News. Here's everything you need to know. The Great Barrier Reef, a natural wonder of the world, is currently facing a grave challenge, with almost three-quarters of its expanse affected by severe coral bleaching. This distressing phenomenon is not isolated, as it forms part of a global crisis where more than half of the world's coral reefs are suffering due to unprecedented ocean heat, a direct fallout of the climate crisis. Coral bleaching involves a scale of severity from 1 to 5, with the most extreme cases witnessing over 90% of a reef's coral cover turning white, a precursor to potential widespread coral death. This process is triggered by marine heat waves, a symptom of climate change, causing corals to expel the algae that live within them and provide their vibrant colors. The loss of these algae can lead to the coral's demise, disrupting ecosystems and the species that depend on them. The urgency of the situation is underscored by experts who are calling for immediate action to address climate change and safeguard the future of coral reefs. The current bleaching event is a stark reminder of the limited time available to mitigate these impacts. Monitoring over the next year will reveal the full extent of damage, but the prognosis is grim if temperatures do not normalize. The UN Environment Programme has issued a dire warning, stating that without significant efforts to reduce emissions, the planet is on track for nearly 3 degrees Celsius of warming above pre-industrial levels this century. Such a scenario would be catastrophic for coral reefs globally, with an estimated 99% facing extinction. This underscores the critical need for a federal emissions reduction target and a swift phase-out of fossil fuels to prevent further damage to the Great Barrier Reef and other coral ecosystems around the world. In the wake of a tragic event that shook Sydney, Westfield Bondi Junction is taking steps towards healing and security. The mall, scene of a deadly stabbing attack, is gearing up to reopen its doors with significant changes aimed at ensuring the safety and comfort of both employees and visitors. This move comes after the incident left the community and its workers in shock, prompting a collective pause to honour those lost. Before resuming shopping activities, the centre will hold a Community Reflection Day, a poignant tribute featuring black ribbons and a silent atmosphere devoid of music, dedicated to the victims. This gesture of remembrance sets the tone for the mall's reopening, underlining the importance of community and collective mourning in the face of tragedy. Employees, including Jesse Carpenter and Emma Georgopoulos, are navigating the emotional landscape of returning to their workplace, a space now marked by recent events. Their readiness to come back, supported by retailers' commitment to pay for missed shifts and provide necessary accommodations, highlights the resilience and solidarity among the mall's workforce. The response extends beyond immediate financial support. Unions and the Shop, Distributive and Allied Employees Association are actively ensuring that all staff receive their due wages and the support needed to transition back to work amidst understandable anxiety. The Australian Retailers Association is emphasising the critical nature of prioritising employee well-being as the centre reopens, a sentiment echoed by the broader business community. In the background of these preparations, the New South Wales government is taking steps to review the weapons policy for security guards in crowded places, a move that underscores the seriousness of addressing public safety comprehensively. This review, coupled with consultations with the victims' families for a long-term memorial, reflects a commitment to lasting changes that honour those affected by the tragedy. Meanwhile, the economic impact on tenants calling for rent relief and the community's plans for a permanent memorial and upcoming vigils, including a candlelight gathering at Bondi Beach, speak to the multifaceted nature of recovery and remembrance. As the mall prepares to reopen and the community begins to heal, the support systems in place for those impacted, from financial aid to mental health resources like Lifeline and Beyond Blue, offer a beacon of hope and solidarity in navigating the aftermath of such a profound loss. In a sobering turn of events within the Australian boxing community, national coach Jamie Pittman has stepped away from the 2024 Paris Olympics following admissions of sexual misconduct towards female boxers. The fallout from this revelation has sparked a significant conversation about behaviour and accountability in sports. The National Sports Tribunal described Pittman's actions as shocking and inappropriate, highlighting 11 offences across three separate team trips. These findings led to a six-month suspension for Pittman, alongside directives for written apologies to the victims and completion of a training course focused on anti-discrimination, anti-harassment, anti-bullying, and anti-sexual misconduct within 60 days. Pittman has issued apologies to the athletes impacted by his actions and has taken steps to seek help for changing his behaviour. Beyond the immediate repercussions, he has also resigned from his position on the Australian Olympic Committee's Indigenous Advisory Committee, acknowledging the gravity of his actions and their implications. The Australian Olympic Committee has confirmed that Pittman will not be part of the team travelling to Paris for the Olympics. This decision underscores the serious stance being taken against misconduct within the sports community. Pittman himself has expressed concern over the potential loss of his employment, a stark reminder of the far-reaching consequences of his actions. In a pivotal moment for Australia's immigration policy, the High Court is hearing an appeal that challenges the boundaries of asylum, safety, and legal detention. At the heart of this legal battle is an Iranian asylum seeker, known only as ASF-17, who is fighting against deportation back to Iran, fearing for his life due to his sexuality. ASF-17's case shines a spotlight on the complex interplay between government policy and individual rights. The government defends its stance by claiming ASF-17's indefinite detention is lawful, arguing that he could simply cooperate with authorities to end it. However, ASF-17's lawyers counter this by stating their client is open to being removed to a third country, even suggesting war-torn Gaza, showcasing the lengths he will go to avoid returning to Iran. This case is not just about one individual's fight for safety, but could set a precedent affecting over 170 detainees in similar predicaments. The core issue the High Court is examining includes whether refusal to cooperate with deportation processes should trigger release and what exactly constitutes a good reason for such refusal. Amidst this legal tussle, Immigration Minister Andrew Giles has put forward legislation that could incarcerate those who resist deportation, a move that could impact around 5,000 people. This proposed law has stirred controversy and debate across various communities and political lines. As the hearing unfolds, the outcome is poised to significantly influence Australia's approach to immigration detention and border security, with Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill stating the government is ready for any court decision. This case underscores the ongoing tensions between national security concerns and the rights of individuals seeking asylum, marking a critical juncture in Australia's immigration discourse. In an evocative display of art and history, Australian artist Archie Moore steps into the global spotlight with Kith and Kin at the 2024 Venice Biennale. This ambitious 60-metre artwork weaves together over 65,000 years of Indigenous culture, tracing the lineage of more than 2,400 generations. Moore's Kith and Kin is not just a genealogical exploration, but a profound critique of the linear, Western concept of lineage. It features hand-drawn names and a reflective pool that brings attention to Indigenous deaths in custody, with gaps poignantly representing lost personal information. This installation is a powerful reminder of the shared ancestry of all humanity, while also confronting the decline of First Nations languages and the lingering scars of colonization. The Venice Biennale exhibition, which also showcases works by Marlene Gilson and Naminapu Maimuru White, marks a significant moment for Indigenous representation on the international stage. Following its debut, the exhibit is slated for display at Kai Goma in Brisbane in 2025-26. Promising a wider audience an insight into these critical themes. The official opening is set for Wednesday at 6:45 p.m. AEST, promising to be a momentous occasion. Meanwhile, in a move reflecting the broader geopolitical tensions, Israeli artist Ruth Patir and the curators of the Israeli Pavilion have closed their exhibition in protest against the ongoing conflict in the Gaza Strip. This act of solidarity underscores the intersection of art and activism, highlighting the power of cultural expressions as a form of political resistance. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.